like to take this opportunity to welcome some of our friends and guests who are here. Marvin, welcome to Canada. Okay. Welcome, BJ and Chris, and congratulations. It's good to see you guys again, okay? It's good to see Jarrell and Noreen and Ate Muriel and Queer Tony. God bless you for joining us. This morning, I have the privilege of opening a new series of message on the study of the book of Galatians. This small letter from the Apostle Paul to the churches in Galatia has been referred to as the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. What is a Magna Carta? A Magna Carta is a charter of freedom. Down to the church age, every time God's people lost sight of what is the gospel, God has used this letter to bring his people back to the simplicity of the gospel, that is Jesus plus nothing. I am excited. This is one of my favorite apostle letters, for the Lord has used this to speak into my own life in the past couple of years and set me free from the bondage of trying to perform to please him. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? On screen, we have the verses in the New King James Version. Please open your Bible, and we'll read the entire Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 24, okay? Let us read. Paul, an apostle, not from man, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he may deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have heard, received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I still please man, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecute the church of God beyond measure and try to destroy it. And I advance in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous for the zealous for the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me to his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preached the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorify God in me. Let us pray. Father, we just want to praise you, Lord God, that you will speak to us through your word this morning, a message of truth and freedom. May your people, Father, embrace it and live it out for your glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, that was a lot of reading. Well, before I start, I want to give you the big ideas. And some of you probably know I love math, right? I probably should be a math teacher. So here is an equation, right? The gospel equals Jesus plus nothing. And the colloquial equation to that is Jesus plus anything equal bad news, okay? So here is the outline. I want to say something up front that there are probably enough material in the first chapter of Galatians for 2 to 3 messages, and we have one message, okay? So even though I give you the two sort of main point and the 3 sub-point, I will focus mainly on the first point, okay? And then Pastor Daniel, who will pick up next Sunday, probably will carry on. So I will just touch on the second point briefly, okay? Whenever you say that the gospel is Jesus plus nothing, you better define what that gospel is. That's the first thing, right? And then secondly, the perversion of the gospel, that when you add anything to Jesus, it's no longer the gospel. It's no longer good news, but bad news, okay? And then we're going to talk about the consequence of perverting the gospel, that any effort to add to the gospel or anyone trying to add to the gospel is cursed and simply cannot please God, okay? So I'm going to give you the background, but before I do, I want to read to you the introduction by Eugene Peterson, the author of the Message Bible, what he said in his introduction to the book of Galatians, okay? Listen carefully, because this is really good, okay? When man and woman get their hands on religion, one of the first things that they often do is to turn it into an instrument for controlling others, either putting or keeping them in their place. The history of such religious manipulation and coercion is long and tedious. It is little wonder that people who have only known religion on such terms experience release or escape from it as freedom. The problem is that the freedom turned out to be short-lived. Paul of Tarsus was doing his diligent best to add yet another chapter to this dreary history when he was converted by Jesus to something radically and entirely different, a free life in God through Jesus. So through Jesus, Paul learned that God was not an impersonal force to be used to make people behave in a certain prescribed ways, but a personal savior who set us free to live a free life. God did not coerce us from without, but set us free from within. It was a glorious experience, and Paul set off telling others, introducing and inviting everyone he met into this free life. In his early travel, he found a series of churches in Rome, in the Roman province of Galatia. A few years later, Paul learned that religious leaders of the old school had come in to those churches, calling his view and authority into question, and were reintroducing the old ways, herding all these freedom-loving Christians back into the corral of religious rules and regulation. Paul was, of course, furious. He was furious with the old guard for coming in with their strong-armed religious tactic and intimidating the Christians into giving up their free life in Jesus, but he was also furious with the Christians for caving in to this intimidation. His letter to the Galatian churches helped them and us recover the original freedom. It also gave direction in the nature of God's gift of freedom, most necessary guidance. Listen to this. For freedom is a delicate and subtle gift, easily perverted and often squandered. Okay? So, being the first message, I want to give you a little bit more extended background to give you the context for the rest of this series. Okay? So, and believe me, I've done a lot of readings on this. Okay? So, in Acts chapter 9, you have the story of Paul, the account of Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, okay, on the road to Damascus when he met the risen Lord Jesus. Okay? We also have the record of Paul's first visit to Jerusalem since his conversion in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Okay? This corresponds to Galatians chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. In Acts chapter 11, verse 30, we have the record of Paul's second visit to Jerusalem with Barnabas to deliver the gifts to the poor saints. This corresponds to what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. In Acts chapter 13 to 14, we have the record of Paul and Barnabas' visit, our first missionary journey. In particular, we have the record of the first visit in this region of Galatia from Antioch. This region of Galatia is today's modern Turkey. So in Acts chapter 13, verse 13 to 52, we have the record of that first visit and the second visit on the way back from to Antioch in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to 23. We can see from those accounts from Acts that the Jews who were envious of Paul and his gospel message, which won over many Gentile believers, were not satisfied in stirring up trouble and chased Paul and his companion out of town. They followed Paul and his companion to other places to cause trouble for them also. It would appear that soon after, in Acts 14 and before Acts 15, once Paul has left these churches in Galatia, the Jews infiltrate these churches, attack Paul, and twist the gospel, trying to lead these new believers back into bondage. This necessitates Paul to write this urgent letter to defend the gospel and his apostleship around 49 AD from Antioch. My conclusion, after careful reading, is that the Jerusalem Council, recorded in Acts chapter 15, took place after this letter had been written and sent, because Paul did not mention the decree from the Jerusalem Council that would have settled the debate. Okay? And I'm going to touch on what the debate is all about. But first, let's look at what is the gospel. So, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul summarized the gospel message that he preached. Okay? And it said, "Who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father." In Acts chapter 13, verse 13 to 41, we have the record of the gospel message that Paul preached to the Galatians. In particular, we have the summary of that gospel message in verse 38 to 39. Okay? "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, that is Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Okay? See, for most Christians, the gospel is summarized in the first part of Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Okay? That Jesus gave himself for our sin. Okay? Or in Acts chapter 13, verse 38, that Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sin. Okay? That's what most people only know about the gospel. Okay? Would you agree that since we receive Jesus, life is not automatically a bed of roses? Okay? We were not immediately taken up to heaven. Right? We are still in this war, which is under the dominion of Satan, and we are still plagued by sins and temptations, conflicts, and struggle. Okay? Would you agree with me that we need deliverance
from this present evil age. How are we going to live the victorious Christian life? This letter of Paul to the Galatians is not just a charter of Christian liberty, but it's also a charter of Christian living. Notice that Jesus died for the sin of the whole world. Right? John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Okay? But only those who would humble themselves and receive Jesus are made justified or righteous and acceptable to God the Father and receive eternal life. Is that not what John 3:16 is all about? Right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The gospel, brothers and sisters, is more than just forgiveness of sin. It is for the living. It is for deliverance from this present evil age. It is for justification from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. Okay? In essence, Galatians 1 verse 4 deal with two things that we consider part and parcel of salvation. Okay? So the first part of the verse, "who gave himself for our sin," deal with our justification. Okay? The second part, "that he may deliver us from this present evil age," deal with our sanctification. Okay? There's another part called our glorification when we meet the Lord in heaven. We will depart from this earthly tense, okay? And we will receive our body fit for heaven, okay? And the third part of that verse is that this is a plan from the mind and will of God the Father, okay? And I will talk to you a little bit more about this divine plan a little later, okay? So Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast." Okay? So in other words, we are saved by grace through faith. And we ought to also live by grace through faith. Okay? But living by faith is hard. You know, for most of us, it's much easier if we are giving a list of things to do. And by our own success or failure, we will know if we are all right or not. See, these Gentile believers in Galatia had received Jesus with joy. And they were enjoying their new life in Christ. But the devil was not happy. He wants to bring them into slavery and captivity. And he has allies in these that we call Judaizers. Paul referred to them as false brethren. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, those who are of the circumcisions, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 12, they are referred to as some of the sect of the Pharisee who believe, in Acts 15, verse 5. And by the way, as often, I will email this to you guys afterward, okay? So, and I would encourage you to go through it. Dig into it. Make sure that what I preach to you is correct. Okay? So what is the Judaizers' message? Okay? You see that recorded in Acts 15, verse 1 and Acts 15, verse 5. Okay? You have it on screen there. "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Okay, verse 5, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." What are they saying? In other words, Jesus was not enough. You also need Moses in order to be saved. See, the Judaizer did not argue that you need to receive Jesus in order to be justified. That's not their argument. Okay? But in order to keep on being justified, you need to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. That is, you need to become a Jew in order to be really be a child of God, in order to be a Christian. Okay? This is the debate between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, between law versus grace, between the flesh versus the spirit, between freedom versus bondage, that has raged since the birth of the Lord's church until today. Okay? John chapter 1 verse 17 said, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And you cannot mix law and grace. Okay? Imagine grace as a pure glass of water that represents life, and law as a bottle of arsenic that represents death. What will happen if you add a drop of that arsenic onto the glass of water? Would you drink it? No. Why? Because it's poison, it's death, right? Sadly, this is not just a problem for the Galatian believer who are being led astray by these Judaizers. It is a problem in many of our churches today. When pastors and churches still insist that believers need to work or by self-effort live up to the law. Okay? A couple of years ago, when our church was birthed, we invited Brother Don Hagen to conduct the Grace Life conference for us. Many of you attend. We invite others from outside the church to attend as our guests. And I met a couple who had been pastor for a long time and who attend the conference for coffee afterward. They told me that, yes, they understand that we are now under grace and not under law, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. But we are still under the law. We still need the law, they said. Otherwise, there will be anarchies and disorder in the church. They even told me that they have a seminar on law and order, and they will be glad to come and share it with our church. No thanks. No thanks. Okay? I met a pastor a couple years ago of a very successful church in the Philippines who insists the same thing. We need the law. Otherwise, there will be chaos in our church. See, during the last mission in the Philippines, we saw this. Okay? You probably cannot read it, so I wrote it out again. Okay? That sign there is where the offering envelope are kept. Okay? And it said, "A Christian who is not giving is a Christian who is worth nothing." Talks about mixing Old Covenant and New Covenant. Talks about preaching law. Talks about condemnation. Talks about bondage. See, that's why God called us to go and preach the message of grace. Okay? Because grace is what set people free. Let me take it a step farther. Okay? Let me ask you, as Gentile believers, I hope none of you are born Jewish, right? As Gentile believer, are we ever under law, the Mosaic law? The answer is no. Okay? The law was given through Moses for the Israelite or the Jews. Okay? It was never given to the Gentile. Paul said in Romans chapter 2, verse 15, that as Gentile, the requirement of the law are written in our hearts, not the law was written in our heart. Okay? What does the word requirement mean? It means that when we stumble, when we sin, we will feel the conviction, we'll feel the shame and the guilt. That's the requirement. Okay? But Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, who give lives, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Okay? There are two extremes in this law versus grace debate. Okay? antinomianism, which means against the law, or legalism, which means law plus grace. Okay? As I said before, above, those who believe in legalism will be offended when you say that they are being legalistic, but will accuse anyone preaching grace of being antinomianism, okay, or against the law. They will say that if it's all grace, then people can just sin. Paul is not against the law. And we who preach grace are not against the law either. Let me just say that the law is still there. That is God's holy standard. It will never disappear. Okay? Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Okay? He introduced a higher law, the law of Christ, as it said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that in future message we'll get to. What is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is love. Okay? Love is the fulfillment of the Mosaic law. Okay? Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. As we walk and live in the Spirit, trusting Jesus, who is love, to love others through us. Okay? As Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, we know that the law is good if you use it properly. Okay? We will have so much more to say about law versus grace and what is the purpose of the law in future messages on this series on Galatians. Whenever we say or let others tell us that we need Jesus plus something else in order to be accepted, we put ourselves into bondage. Do you have to do anything to earn your salvation or acceptance? No, except to believe, right? Do you have to do anything to keep your salvation or acceptance? No, except to believe. Come as you are. There's room at the cross for you. There's power in the blood of the Lamb to save you to the uttermost. Jesus not only saved us, He keeps us safe. Hallelujah. Does this mean that we just sit back and do nothing? No, absolutely not. As sons of God, we ought to be about our Father's business, just like our big brother Jesus. Instead of work to self-effort to earn God's favor, we ought to join Jesus and trust Him to do great work of the kingdom through us. I like to say that Be Alive Christian Fellowship is a testament of Jesus Christ living in and doing the work of the kingdom through us. Why was Paul so emphatic in putting a curse on anyone who pervert the pure gospel of grace, that is Jesus plus nothing? Because Paul knew, and we ought to know also, that if we add anything to the gospel of grace, it becomes work religion, self-effort or works of the flesh. See, those who are in the flesh oppose God, hinder His work, and can never please Him. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 7 to 8. See, all the works of the flesh are but wood, hay, and stubble that will be burned up. The only thing that will remain are the things that Jesus did and will do in and through us. Please know that it is not like these Galatians were living a life of sin. Okay? In fact, it was the opposite. They were doing through self-effort to live up to the law in the energy of the Spirit. They were living, they were trying to live a very high moral standard. But it displeased God. When we add anything to Jesus, it stinks in God's nostril because it displeased Him. Because in essence, it's saying that what Jesus did on the cross was not enough. We have to add to it, that we can do something about it. As I said earlier, there's enough material to practically have another message on just these points, okay? But I'm going to summarize for you very, very quickly. Have you ever paid any attention to political race? There is a presidential race in the U.S. at the moment, right? So, in politics, what is the best way to attack the message? It is by attacking the messenger, right? You assassinate the character of that person in order to destroy his or her message, right? And that's exactly what the Judaizers did, right? They attacked Paul's message by attacking him, right? They said that Paul is just a man pleaser, verse 10. For he preached an incomplete gospel message just to make it easy on these Galatians. But this kept them from the full inheritance as sons of Abraham. Okay? So the Judaizers said that Paul received the gospel message secondhand from the apostle in Jerusalem, that he is just a menial. Paul was brilliant in defending the gospel and his apostleship. He said in verse 4 and verse 11 that the gospel was a divine plan, originate from the will and mind of God. Paul went on in verse 12 to say that he received the gospel through divine revelation directly from the Lord Jesus. And we have the account of that in Acts chapter 9. Okay? So, in verse 13 to 14 of our text, Paul talks about his former life in Judaism. He has zeal, but without knowledge. He was a fanatic, just like those terrorists that flew those airplanes into the Twin Towers in New York City. Right? They believe that they were doing the will of God as well. No different than Paul. Okay? But you see, it takes a revelation of God to open the eyes of the fanatics to see that he is the one true God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you not glad that the grace of God is sufficient for Paul? Are we not glad that the grace of God is sufficient for you and me? That's why we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me. See, Paul claimed to have received a direct divine commission from Jesus and from God the Father in verse 1, verse 15 and 16. See, why none of us can claim the exact same divine commission, like we don't have that Damascus Road experience, so to speak, right? But we too are being sent. Okay? Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Okay? We may not have received a direct revelation, but we also receive revelation from Jesus when we endeavor to live out the truth of God's word. Okay? Jesus said to the Pharisee in John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40, "You study the scripture diligently because you think that that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very scripture that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Okay? So what, in other words, when we live by the truth of God's word, okay, Christ will be revealed in and through us. Okay? So, what is the gospel, you ask? This is the gospel. That Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty of my sin. That he was buried God raised him to life for my justification. That I was once a child of the devil, but now I am the righteous son of God. That I was once in the kingdom of darkness, but I am now in the kingdom of light. That I was once a sinner who humbly come to the cross and acknowledge that I cannot save myself. I chose by faith to trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross to receive him as my Lord and Savior. The Father baptized me into his Son on that same cross. That I died with Christ, was buried with Christ, and was raised to new life with Christ. I belong to Jesus. And for the rest of this life here on earth, I choose to live by faith, trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me to live in and through me. And that is the gospel. God bless you as you receive Jesus as your life. Amen. Praise God.